Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit. How many are happy today? Are you? I want you to be happy today. Wow, I'll tell you what. God is so good and I love Him so much. And I thank Him for all the blessing He has been in my life. I hope you thank Him for the blessing He has been in your life as well. Because He is a mighty good God. He does a whole lot more for us than, you know what, that we would have done for Him or anyone else. There's no one that's like Him. No one's like Him. How many brought your Bible with you today? As I go before them, how many got your Bible with you? In that book is going to be the answer to all of your problems, all of your needs, and every circumstance and situation that you face. You get that answer today, it'll turn your life around. It'll change you like nothing else in this world will do. So let's make our confession as we go before the Lord. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, the ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, 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 in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah real loud. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Turn the Bible with me to John chapter 14 that we're going to be looking at here as I sort of share some things with you today. We're talking about today how to practice the presence of God. A number of years ago, a great missionary by the name of Brother Lawrence, who did a lot of work in overseas and that kind of thing, sort of coined that phrase, at least in our lifetime anyway, a number of years ago. Another missionary by the name of T.L. Osborne sort of took him up on it. But basically, I want to speak to you a little bit about that subject today as we look in the Scriptures. I've got Hebrews 13, 5, which tells us, I will never leave you and nor will I forsake you. And so Jesus goes with us everywhere we go. If we are born again and we are found in Christ, then the Father God allows His Son, Christ Jesus, to manifest His presence in us, and He's with us everywhere we go. I can't go anywhere that Jesus doesn't go, and I wouldn't dare go somewhere that Jesus wouldn't want to go. And so we'll talk about some of that as we get into this. I've spoke for several weeks about God's plan of salvation in our life. But after you are saved and after you are born again, when you say yes to Jesus, how many knows that there's more to living for God than just walking down and shaking the preacher's hand? Somebody say amen. Or walking down the aisle and repeating a prayer, and that's good, but you know, there's more to it than just that. There's more to it than just a one-time commitment to where you make a commitment to the Lord and just sort of walk away and you don't do anything to develop who you are in Christ Jesus. What if, out of all the little precious little children we have, little babies we have in our services now, what if when they were born, all we did was just left them at the hospital, didn't bring them home, didn't put any clothing on them, didn't feed them, didn't do any kind of changing habits that we need, didn't do anything, just left them there. I mean, you know, first of all, they're going to get somebody for child abuse, I think, if we did something like that. And certainly that would never enter our mind. Why is it that we think a person will be born again and just leave them alone? Just let them be born again. That's just it. You know, well, there you are. Okay, we'll see what happens to you. No. Well, you should do some things after your born-again experience that cause you to be discipled and cause you to grow in Christ Jesus. And that's sort of what I'm talking about. But basically, I'm thinking about that subject of how do you manifest the presence of Jesus that is in you. We quote that scripture, greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world, 1 John 4:4. And we quote that scripture, and He is in us, but you know what? You need to let Him out, let Him manifest, or let Him be seen by the world. So that when people look at you, they see Jesus. When they look at you and they hear your words, they hear Jesus. When they see where you go, they see Jesus going there. When they see what you do, they see Jesus doing that. They hear what you're thinking in your mind, in your heart, your spirit. It's the thoughts of Christ Jesus. And we need to manifest Him in our life. Not just say we are born again and walk off from that experience, but say we are born again. And now how can I develop myself to be more like Christ, more like Jesus, and display this Christ that I have received into my heart? How do I manifest Him outwardly? And so that's sort of the topic that I'm going to be talking about here this morning. Look in John chapter 14 and verse 21. John 14, 21. Got a Bible, turn there for sure. Check up. Don't let me say anything that you don't find in Scripture. John 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. If I don't go any further, I can know the people who love God. Because Jesus said, the people that love God are those that have His commandments and they keep them. They have the commandments of Christ, not Old Testament law. Not the law of the old covenant that Moses talked about, which is done away in Christ Jesus, but the commandments of Christ. He that has my commandments and keeps what Christ has said to us, that person is a person that is loving me. John talked about it while we're reading the book of John here. If you go to 1 John, you can read it all through chapters 3, 4, and 5, where he talks about here's how you can see if somebody's of God or not. Because a righteous person will manifest righteousness and a wicked person will manifest wickedness. And he said, by this we'll know if a person is of God or not. And here Christ is making it very plain. The person that has my commandments and keeps them. He's a doer of them. He it is that loves me. And he that loves me will be loved of my Father. See this chain reaction taking place. We have the commandments. We keep them. We show our love toward Christ. And the person that loves Christ shall be loved of the Father. And then what else? I, Christ, will love him. And then here's the key. And will manifest myself to him. I will make myself known to him. I will display myself unto him. I will manifest myself unto him and not unto the world. Notice verse 22. Jesus said unto him, Judas, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you'll manifest yourself to us and yet not unto the world? Because the world doesn't know God. The world doesn't know Jesus. To them, you are the weirdos. To them, you are the peculiar people. To them, you are the people that literally have lost your mind. And that's absolutely true. I've lost my mind and gained the mind of Christ. That's what we are as Christians. But to them, that's, so they don't know you. Because they don't have a manifestation of Jesus. How is it, then, that the child of God can manifest Jesus in his life, but the world can't? That's what's being asked here, Judas, not Iscariot. But Judas is asking this question. And verse 23, Jesus answered, said to me, well, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words. The difference in a child of God in the world is the children of God keep the words of Jesus. We do the things. We live this life. We walk in His favor and His blessing. We do those things that He commands us to do. We do those things that He encourages and tells us to do. We abide by the Word of God. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And so we are that peculiar, that strange person that is manifesting the Lord Jesus. But the world is not able to do that because they are not a people who keep the Word of God. They're not a people where Christ is on the inside of them. Notice, and verse 23, and my Father will love him. We will come. We will come unto him and make our home or our abode with him. And he that loves me not keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, this is something I didn't come up with this morning. This is the word of the Father that's in me that I'm speaking to you. And he says this, the person that does not love me does not keep my sayings. And so you can find this easily discernible divide, I guess you'd call it. That when a person is not keeping the words of God, you know they don't love Jesus. Amen. But when a person is keeping the word of the Lord, you know that they do love Jesus. And you know that the Father and the Lord Jesus is manifesting himself to them. How many wants this old world to see Jesus in you? Somebody say amen. Amen. That's what we want. We want this world to see Jesus in us. I don't care if they ever mention my name. I don't care if they even know who I am. I've been a part of this church. AJ mentioned maybe founding the church and that kind of thing all these years. But when we have cornerstones on our church that talk about the dedication of different buildings that we made and what you were building, but my name is not on any of them. It just does not matter. What matters is that Jesus Christ is seen through you and seen through me. That's all that really matters. And so this is what happens when we keep the words of the Lord. Now let me read you that in verse 23. Jesus answered, said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. The Amplified Bible says it like this. If a person really loves me, if a person really loves me, he'll keep my word. That is, he'll obey my teachings. And my Father will love him and we'll come to him and make our home, our special dwelling place with him. In other words, you have a special relationship with Jesus. Somebody say, I have a special relationship with Jesus. And so when you see the world scared, in their words, I don't use these phrases myself, but in their words, when you see the world scared to death, the reason is they don't have the special relationship that you and I have. I've got a special relationship with God the Father, a special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that he'll never leave me or forsake me. I know that he'll go with me even to the end of the world, Scripture says. I know that the greater one is on the inside of me because I have a special relationship with the Lord Jesus. You could tell me something about Sheila, you know, maybe, I guess you might find out something, I don't know. But I got a special relationship with that young girl, and we together know things about each other in our hearts and our lives that nobody else knows. It's a special relationship. And you and I have a special relationship. Jesus has not denied any part of our hearts, any places of our life, of our mind. Jesus is allowed to come to the depth of who we are. I have a special relationship with Jesus. Everybody say, I have a special relationship with Jesus Christ. That's who I am. The Living Bible says it like this. Because, Jesus replied, I will only reveal myself to those who love me and obey me. I'll only reveal myself to those who love me and obey me. If you want the manifestation of Jesus Christ in your life, you need to be a disciple of Christ. You need to be one that loves him, one that cherishes him, one that obeys what he tells you to do. And what if you are running a business and you have some workers under you, maybe you got 100 workers under you, whatever, and you run this business, and you've got two or three of these people that every time you tell the company what we're going to do and the vision we have and the direction we're going to go and what we're going to do to make it happen and what we're going to do to take place, you've got two or three don't even know you said it. And they don't even know you said it. Much more, they don't know you said it, and they sure don't do it because they don't know you said it in the first place. They're not going to have that special place with you. But when you have that worker out of that 100 that is just listening to everything you say, that is getting behind and getting involved in whatever you're doing and whatever your vision is for that company and really works hard to make it happen and stays right by your side, just doing what you tell him to do like he tells you to do it, then that's a very special relationship, a very special worker. That's the person who's going to get promoted. That's the person who's going to be closest. That's the person that when the owner of the company goes away, that he leaves in charge of doing things. And it's the same way like this. When Christ Jesus left a special group of people who are in charge. They are the people that love him and obey his word, keeping his commandments, those people that are able to manifest the Lord Jesus in their life. And so God does that in us, and then the world sees God in us. He sees the manifestation of Jesus in our lives. And so that's the presence of God. And if in your life, you have these switches that you turn on and you turn off. In other words, you have, some of you may, I hope you don't. But some of you may have had the Sunday morning switch that you turned on. And so on the way to church this morning, you flip the switch differently than you flipped it Monday through Saturday. Or maybe Monday through Friday, depending on what your work days are. But you flipped it differently. On those days, you have the mind of the world. And do the things that the world sets before you and have the activities of the world going on throughout your life. But then Sunday you come and you flip the switch. And when you flip that switch, and now all of a sudden on Sunday morning you got very religious. You got very conscious of the things of God. And you came into this house and those kind of things in a very reverent and respectful manner. And some of those things are good qualities for sure. But if you only do that on Sunday, you're not practicing the presence of God every day of your life. and you don't have Christ Jesus walking with you and going with you and doing the things that you need. I remember it's been several weeks ago, but a young lady came into the church, and it was after the service, and so she came into the church at the lobby and said, "I want prayer." I said, "That's fine. What you got in need of?" And she told me. I said, "Well, let's just pray." She said, "Well, can't we do it down here in the altar church?" I said, "Well, sure, let's go to the altar church." But to me, it didn't matter if I was in the altar church or out in the lobby. Because it wasn't the altar or the lobby I was looking for. It was Jesus. And Jesus was in the lobby just like he was in the altar. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, is this a precious place and is this a sanctuary? Sure, we understand it and those principles and those understanding. And I didn't badmouth or go into an 18-minute discourse on where Jesus is at, on those kind of things. But when you walk with Jesus, it didn't matter where you're at. Whether you're at the grocery store, whether you're out there pumping your gas. And how many knows, it takes a little effort to keep your religion when you pump gas. Somebody say amen. And again, you know how I use that word, keep your religion. But anyway, we don't have religion. We got life. But anyway, yeah, you need to have that. I mean, what about, deacon so-and-so or elder so-and-so or church member so-and-so or brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? You just left the church and you went down to Ingles and you started to fill up your car with gas and you had on your Sunday best and those kind of things and out there. And somebody just watched you just cuss that pump for all it's worth while you pumping that gas. You just cussed that pump out. I mean, you cussed that pump out, and every politician you can think about that may have something to do with those high gas prices. Well, you know what? What kind of presence of God is that? No, you was just being religious when you was in the house of God. And when you was in the house of God, you might holler and hoop and waved and jump and shouted and run the benches and all this kind of stuff that people talk about doing or swung from the chandeliers. We'll have to get us a chandelier. We got one in the lobby. But, if you're here to, swing from the chandelier, the lobby one won't do because Jesus ain't in the lobby, he's in the sanctuary. But anyway, those kind of things. And so you're just being religious. But you need to practice the presence of God that he's with you everywhere you go. And everything you say, everything you think, and whatever you do, God is with me. Ever say, God is with me. God is with us. When we sing that song, God is fighting for us. He's with us. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord God is present, is the Hebrew word, Jehovah Shema. He is present with us. He never leaves us, and he never, ever forsakes us. He's always in us, just like he is right now. He's always here. All right, turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. When we understand about this manifestation of Jesus in our life, one of the greatest verse of scripture that I know of in the New Testament. You probably know it some better than I. But this was a great one in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul stated it like this: I am crucified with Christ. E.W. Kenyon talked about that as an understanding of identity. We identify with Christ. We're crucified with him. Somebody say, well, Christ was crucified 2,000 years ago on the cross. Yes, he was. Absolutely. You're absolutely right when you say that. But it's also right to say that you and I were crucified with him. Yes. With him. With him. We were crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Now, wait a minute now. You said you're crucified, but now you say you're alive. How can you be crucified, dead, and alive at the same time? You said you were crucified, but now you say you are alive. But notice, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, this life that's in this body now that I've got, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice, the life that I now live, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Amen. And so I'm living right now this life that I have, that Christ is living in me. The old me is dead. Amen. Now, you got to get a reality of that. The old you is dead. Don't let it not be dead. I mean, if there's a dead you still walking around, you probably then started to stink many years ago. And so don't let that old dead you keep walking around talking. Don't let anything come out of that. Wouldn't you be scared if you saw a dead body or dead corpse and all of a sudden he started talking and words started coming out of him? And my, if that dead body, dead corpse got up out of that casket and got up out, you would really have a problem. My dad told me many years ago, he came from the mountains of Tennessee. And in Tennessee, many years ago, let's go back, let's go back 70 years ago, that he remembers as a young boy, maybe better go back 80 years ago, he remembers as a young boy that they were having a wake inside of the home. And in the mountains of Tennessee, the poor folks there, they just didn't go to a mortuary or anything like that. They just fixed up the body there and put it in the house and did the best they could with it and had it in there in the living room. And he talked about his uncle so-and-so that was there in the casket, and they were all around with the wake, and he was sitting over there or laying there in the casket, and all of a sudden he raised up from the casket. How many know when that old boy rose up, I've been rose out, wouldn't you? But he rose up from that casket. And not all that, he turned to one of them and said, I want a drink of water. They got him a drink of water. This is their story now. He swears that it is true, and I don't believe he told me a lie. He said, this is what they gave him a drink of water. He drank it, laid back down dead again. I'll tell you something. You know, they didn't embalm people back in those days. The Hebrews in the old days, remember Jesus was in the grave 3 days, three nights? Why was that? Because they want to make sure you're dead. And in the Old Testament, Lazarus waited past 3 days before Jesus raised him from the dead because they want to make sure he really was dead. They believed that the spirit hovered around the body for 3 days. And if after 3 days, and the Hebrew people now, not biblically, but Jewish people had that as their custom, that the spirit hovered around the body for 3 days, and after that, it's safe to bury them. And so, I don't know what his situation was, but you know what? You don't need to have a dead body walking around talking. Amen. Drinking, eating, doing anything. If you're dead, you're dead. Don't let it do that. But you know what? Some Christians do that. They are the walking dead. Because they have not let Jesus manifest himself in their life and brought newness of life to them. They walk and talk just like they always walked and talked. They live just like they always live, do what they always did, and still live in that life of death that they really just came out of. What a sad predicament. What a sad thing that people would live their life that way. But Paul is saying, I died. Everybody say, I died. I died. I died. I died 2,000 years ago at the cross. I died. Nevertheless, I live. But the me that is living right now is not the old me that died, but it is, verse 20, it is Christ that lives in me. Jesus is alive in me. Somebody say, Jesus is alive in me. He's alive on the inside of me right now. And that's who I want to be manifesting unto you right now. When I'm speaking to you, I know some of my southern dialect is coming through from a little boy born in Watts Mill here in Lawrence, South Carolina. I understand that, but I don't want that boy to come through at all. I want the words of Christ Jesus to come out of my mouth. I want to manifest God, manifest the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, because the old me, he's dead. He's dead. He is flat dead. Now then. Let me show you something. You say, how is it then? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. How is it then that I'm going to manifest Christ in my life? I mean, it's one thing to hear that we need to do it. It's another thing to read verses about Paul. And Paul said he did. Said he's dead and the life he lives now is Christ. It's his whole life is now in Christ Jesus. It's another thing to understand that Paul did it and some other people saying that they did it, that kind of thing. But how can I do it? How can I really manifest Christ in my life? Because let's think about it. I live in this world, and I'm schooled and educated and trained. All my resources, all my education comes from this world system. And then I accept Jesus, and they told me I was born again, and they told me I was saved. And then the next question becomes, well, now what? Now what? If I go back to the old world, to the old place, I will have these desires in me that want to follow God, but somehow don't quite know how. And somehow don't know quite how to think, what to say, what to do, where to go. All these kind of things in my life, nobody's told me. I have allowed myself to go in a different direction. And so how is it that I'm going to manifest the presence of Jesus in my life? It's going to start, really what Tim LaHaye talked about many years ago when he talked about the battlefield of the mind. It's going to start right here between your ears. And I know sometimes some of us don't give God much to work with. But anyway, that's where it starts. Right between our ears in our mind. And think about it. Everything that I'm doing right now as I'm walking and rotating my hands like this, and I don't know what I'm doing, like the temptations and going back, I don't know. But anyway, whatever I'm doing, that was a little spiel they did, steps we called it back in the day. But anyway, whether I'm doing that or whether I'm speaking or whether I'm looking or whether I'm walking or moving and all these kind of things, it's a manifestation of me that you see out here. All that starting. It has a starting place in it, and it starts right up here in my mind. Because hand can't do anything unless mind tells hand to do it. Mouth can't say nothing until mind tells mouth to say it. Feet don't walk until mind tells them to walk. Right? That's the starting place. And so why is it that I want to go all the way down there? It's like that financially. Some people talk about it. Well, tell me how to be rich. I can tell you how to be rich. Somebody said, tell me how to be a millionaire. I can tell you how to do that. I can tell you all these kind of things Dave Ramsey told me, and he will tell you. And so I can tell you those things, but you don't start up here with the blessing. There are steps that got you to the blessing. And you have to back up to those incremental steps that made a way for you to make yourself to that plateau of blessing that you want to be at. And it's the same way. And manifesting Christ in your life, you can't keep that old mind that you got from the world. Because that worldly mind does not manifest Christ. It is the exact opposite. I mean, they hate Christ. They hate God. And if you follow Christ, they're going to hate you. Didn't Jesus say that? Why the world hates you? Because it hated me first. So don't think you got the premium on hate. Because Jesus said they hated me first. Well, I'm glad to be in that cloud or that group of hate then. If that's what they call it, I'll just be happy to be there with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How about you? Somebody say amen. 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 All right. Look at Romans chapter 8. Know this one thing. Get that thinking right. Don't allow yourself to think nothing. I say that, it's a little easier to understand. Some people say, well, don't say think anything. That's more proper. No, don't think nothing. Don't think nothing. Don't think anything that Jesus would not think. Amen. Don't let your mind be running over, reminiscing, remembering, reasoning, thinking through anything in a way that Jesus wouldn't do it. You want to manifest Jesus in your life? That's the heart of where you're at. Now, here's why. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded. And what is carnally? Carnal means fleshly. And biblically understanding that, it's like worldly. It's the things of the world. Living your life based on what flesh tells you to do. And what does flesh always tell you to do? Flesh says, I ain't doing nothing that don't feel good to me. That's what flesh always says. Flesh says, I ain't going there, I ain't doing that, no, I just want to have fun. Flesh just wants to have fun. You know, that's all that flesh wants to do. It wants to enjoy itself. That's all it wants to do. So that's carnal-mindedness, okay? Carnal-mindedness. Now, the flesh it's like a lot of things. It has a part of it that is good. For example, you stick flesh in the fire, and then the fire's going to burn the flesh, and you're going to withdraw. That's a good thing. But as normal for the devil, what he does is perverts the good that flesh would bring and perverts it and makes it all bad. And so in this carnal reality, he said, for to be carnal minded, to be fleshly thinking. I remember a show many years ago called All in the Family, and they had a guy on there who was carnal minded. Remember that? He was Archie's son-in-law. What was his name? Meathead. Meathead. And what's meat? Carnal, flesh, flesh head. Carnal minded. We say all of them was carnal minded. But anyway, he was carnal minded. And so when you got your thinking going on in your mind, don't let it be carnal minded, because to be carnal minded is death. It'll kill you. You let your mind stay in the flesh, it will kill you. My wife and I enjoy our relationship, the marriage that we've had all these years. And let's say that, you know, someone comes up who more pretty than me, you thought I was going to say her. But anyway, more pretty than me, which is not going to happen, of course. But that happened, and her mind get drawn the wrong direction, and she'll allow her mind to continue to think that she could bring death to our marriage. And at the same time, death to her, too, because I'm going to kill them both. But anyway, she could bring death to our marriage, right? Carnal-mindedness can kill a marriage. You might say amen. It can do a lot of things. Carnal-mindedness, when you get on the flesh, I want that thing and I want it now. Do you have the money for it? No. But I want it now. I got two choices. I can either go borrow the money for it or I can steal it if I don't have the money for it. Both of them going to get me in trouble. Whether I borrow it or whether I steal it, either way, it's going to get me in a heap of trouble. But if I keep saying on flesh, I deserve it. I deserve it. No, you don't deserve it if you ain't worked for it and earned it and bought it. Well, I deserve it. I deserve it. No, 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 no. No, no, you don't. No, you don't. You deserve it whenever you do what you need to do to get the money to do it. Then you buy it. Then that money gave you the right to deserve it. That money paid for it, and that, therefore you deserved it. And so what happens is flesh will get you into trouble. And here, carnal-mindedness is death. If I keep my mind on the things of the world and the flesh, the devil will keep inputting things into my flesh life and my carnal mind, which will drive me away from God. You can do that. And he said, how can I do that? You can do that in an area of healing. I said, I'm believing God for healing for something. Yeah, but my hand still hurts. I'm believing God for it. Well, what is carnal mind? That's my flesh says it still hurts. But if I keep thinking about my flesh, say my hand still hurts, and I focus on that all the time, then that's where I'm going to be. But if I get my mind off of this carnal mindedness of my hand hurting, and I get it on the Word of God, which tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ is my great physician, and He is my healer, and I don't forget all of His benefits, who forgives all of my iniquities and heals all my diseases and brings restoration to me, when I believe on that, that'll bring healing to this flesh. But if I stay on the flesh, that flesh will finally kill me. And why do Christians say some things like we say? I've heard people sometimes say things like this. Well, I believe I'm taking a cold. What you believing for a cold for? You're not only thinking it, you believing for it. Oh, God, give me that cold. Give me that cold. I'm believing. I have a cold. I have a cold. I have a cold in Jesus. Don't be believing God for no cold. Amen. Somebody say, what's wrong with you? You say, nothing. What you think's wrong with me? Ain't nothing. And believe God. Believe God. I talked to a fellow one time. He was a pastor of a church in Greenville. And he had a little lazy eye like that. And the other eye would look straight on, and up there, and his associate pastor asked him, and said, oh, yeah, brother so-and-so, whatever happened to your eye to make it that way anyway? Pastor looked at him and said, what eye? Which one? He wouldn't. How many know if you can believe all things are possible to him who believes? Somebody say amen. It is. Well, that's the starting place for all of us. All right. Now, notice, carnal-minded is death, but spiritual-minded is life and peace. Somebody says, I don't have any peace. I don't think I can have a life. I don't have any calmness about my spirit. What's wrong with me? Well, you're carnal-minded. And that's killing you. You say, well, cast it out of me. I can't. It's your mind. I cannot cast carnal-mindedness out of somebody. You can't do it. You can't cast out carnal-mindedness. We'll see that as we're going. It's the operation of the mind. You can't cast it out. It's the way your mind works. Your mind will think on whatever you want it to think on. Yeah. Whatever you let it, whatever you allow it, whatever you input on it, that will come into your mind and it will be the state of your life. But now to be spiritually minded will be life and peace. So if I keep my mind on things of God, there it is. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, that the person that keeps your mind stayed on the Lord will dwell in perfect peace. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord. You'll dwell in perfect peace. Let your mind wander. Keep it stayed on as the world turns and other things like that. You won't have a lick of peace in your life. You'll be depressed, discouraged, and mad, and upset, and gloom, and doom, and all these other things that the world brings to you. It's your choice. You can be just as happy as you want to be. Oh, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I faced. You don't know what's going on in my life. Don't give me that. Everybody's had a hard time. Somebody say amen. But that's what we say when we're selfish. Oh, not me, though. Not me. Boy, I've really had it bad. Boy, I've really had it tough. Oh, it's really terrible. You know, all the kind of, well, keep thinking that. You're going to keep having a terrible, hard time life. Right. You can have the life that you think. All right. In Proverbs chapter 23, Scripture tells us, verse 6, as a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinks, so is he. You become what you think about. All the day long. Look at verse 7. Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. If you're carnal-mindedness, you're not in the spiritual things of God where the law of God is concerned. You're carnal-minded. And you are the enemy against the principles and the rules and the regulations and the laws of God. So if I'm over here in a flesh mind, I'm not even in the battle. I'm not even in the arena to receive my blessing from the Lord. Let me read that to you out of God's Word translation. It says this: this is so because the corrupt nature or carnal mind has a hostile attitude toward God. When you have a carnal mind, and we need to get this into our thinking, it's not that, well, I guess I just need to, you know, learn to think more faithful. I guess I need to do sort of what the pastor says. I need to think a little bit better. And I need to have a positive mental attitude, PMA, all these kind of things. And, you know, that's okay to think that kind of thing. But it really, it's a lot deeper than all that. Amen. When you got a carnal mind, you are hostile toward God. Amen. You're striking a fight with God. Put them up, God, is what you're doing in your mind. I mean, that's what's happening. You are a carnal mind. You are hostile toward God. What did it say in verse 7 or verse 6? Carnal minded is death, and to be spiritual minded is life and peace. The carnal and mind is the enemy against God. You become God's enemy from what you're thinking. In other words, God's coming to you and said, I brought you life, and I brought you peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you're saying, oh, no. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. Things are bad. It's terrible. You just became the enemy of God. Because God was wanting to work out His good word in your life, and you're wanting to work out what the devil said in your life. You've got to take charge of that mind. Don't be the enemy. You want to manifest the presence of God? You're not going to do it with a carnal mind. You're not going to do it thinking on the things of this world. You're not going to do it when your mind is on the latest, you know, song on the radio, the latest picture on the boob tube. I mean, you're just not going to do it. When your mind is consumed with this world and this world's thinking, that's going to be your life. You're not going to have the blessings of God with that reality going on. All right, look at Romans chapter 12. Let me show you something. Everybody say, think nothing. What was it? Aretha Franklin said many years ago, you better think. You better think about the consequences of your actions. Because all your actions have consequences. They do. In Romans 12. So I don't want to be the enemy of God. I don't want to have this carnal mind. Oh, if you could just change that. I mean, the reality of coming to a place in your life when you realize God's word is true. And again, I know we'll say that most of us here, I'm persuaded, are Christians and do our best to follow the Lord, so to speak, and that's where we're at in life. But at the same time, you have to look at the incremental parts of God's plan and His Word. And some things you might do pretty well, and other things you might do very badly, other things you don't even know they exist, and you're here and there. And so you have to look at different aspects of your life. And you know, even the number of years I've been serving the Lord and following, there's still different things in my life that I have to address, sometimes on a daily basis, and say, mind, you got to be renewed over that. You're not going to keep thinking that way in the name of Jesus. It's just not going to happen, and so I'm not going to do it, and I start thinking on something else. We constantly have to do that with different struggles and battles in our life, but if you get that mind changed, the rest of you will follow the change. Your mind goes first, then your words, what you do, where you go, the way you live your life, all that follows it. It follows it. And if you're just trying to get out here and say, well, oh, you know, the pastor said I shouldn't do this, and so I'm not going to do this, and you try with all your might not to do it, but you don't renew your mind, you're fighting a losing battle. You're just struggling when you don't need to struggle, because you cannot defeat sin by yourself. You cannot overcome the power and suggestion of the devil by yourself. You have to have the cleansing. What is it? Oh, that is. John 17 and 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You have to apply the word to you that sanctifies you or sets you apart from things. And if you keep applying the word of the world, you keep being drawn more to the world. But when you start applying the word of God, it sanctifies you and separates you from the things of this world. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is only right for us to love God after all He's done for us. My. And verse 2. Now, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world set your standard of conduct. Don't let the world set your standard of how you live. Just because the world wants it, what's that got to do with you? I mean, some people live and die. And I'm not saying you buy any kind of clothing you like or whatever. It doesn't matter to me. Buy anything that you like. Doesn't matter what goes on. But some people live and die based on the brands of clothing or shoes that they do. I mean, I don't know, different kind of shoes. I mean, these I got belts. Last time I think I got them, I don't know what kind they are. But anyway, when you look at shoes, I remember years ago, I went out, it was a Korean brand that they had. What was it at that time? I don't know what it was. I was thinking that it was made in Korea, and I think it was Nike or something at that time, this year ago. And they did something about this politically, and I said, I won't buy any more of them shoes anymore. And the other brand I went to, then they got it, and they did the same thing. I said, well, I ain't buying no more of them either. So I finally had to buy somebody's shoes to go barefoot one. But anyway, because they all did something. They all did something. But you know, don't let a brand of something of the world. If you like a certain shoe, then get that certain shoe. That's okay. But you shouldn't be driven by, if I don't wear Nikes, you know, if I'm not wearing a Nike shoe, if I'm not doing that, then I'm just not good as the next person. You got a problem. You got a big problem in your life. A great big problem. We went and sometime about tennis shoes, and we went to Walmart. This has been 3 years ago, I guess it was. And I bought some shoes there, and they had some on sale. They just closed them out, and I bought like four pair of them. I'll be wearing those in my casket when I die, because I hadn't wore them out yet. But I bought like four pair of them because it's a great price. I love the price more than I love the brand. But anyway, don't let this world be what you conform to. Or the way the world talks, like whenever they tell you to say something, like, you know, words that you come in your mouth, like, what you want to do, like. Don't let this world determine what your language is going to be like. You understand? Right. Everybody say like. Right? You know where I'm coming from. Okay. We don't conform to this world. We don't do that. Now, there's something you do other than being conformed to the world. Notice. But be transformed. A transformation has to take place. If you get a rule that you take your old carnal flesh and try to obey that rule, you'll be fighting and struggling all the time trying to obey that rule. But if you transform your carnal flesh into spiritual, that rule will become automatic in your life. It will be an easy thing for you to obey and an easy thing for you to do. And so notice here he says, don't be conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind's got to be renewed. I'm going to give you a secret here when we see this. Some people want a new mind from God. They want their old mind taken out and a new mind put in. That's not it. You renew the mind you got. You have a mind that operates on certain principles of having something inputted into it and something exported from it. You have that mind, or outputted from it. You have that mind that works on that principle. There's nothing wrong with the mind and how it works. There's something wrong with what you've been putting into it, because that's what you've been getting out. You ever have people have computer problems and computer issues, and you look, oh, go on this computer, it ain't working right, whatever. And then somebody sits down at that computer, makes a few changes here and there, does a little bit different like that. Same computer, same hard drive, same RAM, same keyboard, same screen, same everything about it, same processor. Everything's the same, but now it works. That's how you need to think about renewing your mind. It's not, oh, God, take this old terrible mind out of me. I want it gone. Lord, take it out. Give me that mind of Jesus. I want it. Stick it in me. It is not that. It is taking the mind that you have and renewing that mind. Amen. We renew them because it works fine. It works fine. It's just a junk we've been putting in it. It's what's caused us to get the trash out of it. Amen. It works fine. It does exactly what it's supposed to be doing. But you've just been putting the wrong thing into it. Now notice what he says here. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation takes place by mind renewal. Notice it. A transformation, he's saying, takes place by the renewing of your mind. What happens then? Well, you prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. That's the final product of this renewed mind. Now, that word transform that we see there, some of us think about that word metamorphosis, like a butterfly changing into something else. It's that same word. Of believers, W. Vine said it's like this: be ye transformed, the obligation being to undergo a complete change, which under the power of God will find an expression in your character and your conduct.
stresses
on the inward change. I am transformed not because you say to me, for example, if I said, well, how much is 1 and 3? And I said, well, that's 18. Oh, no, Leon, 1 and 3 is not 18. 1 and 3 is 4. You got that, Leon? 1 and 3 is 4. Okay, I'll change my mind from 1 and 3 being 18. 1 and 3 is now 4. I agree with you. And the next time I'm doing addition figures, I put down 1 plus 3 equals 18. I still wrote down the old thing. I wrote down the same answer to the equation that I had for years. But when you asked me what 1 and 3 was, I said, it's 4 now, because you told me to say something different. That's not transforming your mind. Transforming your mind is when the change that goes into your mind actually affects what you say and what you do. It becomes your nature. It now becomes who you are. What you believe, how you live your life. It's not that when somebody made you mad, I'm going to pop them, you know, and you're going to hit them. They made you mad. It's not that. You say, well, I better not. Oh, I'll stop. And you stop. No, transformation takes place when you don't draw back at all. Amen. See? Amen. If you're still out there fighting the rules, you know the right to do, and you fight to do it, give up the fight. By having a transformed and a renewed mind, where you absolutely just think differently than what you just thought. Same mind, still same thinking process, but now it's got new input and it's got new output, and now it has become renewed. A renewed mind. Now, look with me, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Not just the answers of your mind, or the equations, but the spirit of your mind, the nature of that thing. Be renewed in how that thing works. Where you had a bad spirit of the mind, now you got a good spirit of the mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God's created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the way of the mind that we have now. One created in righteousness and true holiness. That God has made us the righteousness of God, and He expects me to walk out that righteousness in true holiness. Righteousness is what God has made me. Holiness is my conduct and how I live and act in this world. And I can only have a good holiness if I have the righteousness of God. And when I do, then I can let that work out in my heart and life, and I'll have a holy life. Now, notice that word again. I want to show it to you again. There's be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. Let me give you an idea that maybe you can understand it. When you think about renewal, it means to renovate or reform. It does not mean to remodel. You're not remodeling your mind. Have you ever remodeled something? Maybe you remodeled your bathroom at your home or your kitchen, and you went in and you took these appliances and you took these different fixtures that you had in your kitchen and cabinetry, and you tore it out and threw it all out. Got a whole bunch of new stuff and stuck it back in. Well, what you did is you remodeled your kitchen. But had you renovated it, what you would have done is worked on the stuff that you got and renewed it and made it new again. Not something old that never existed. But you renewed what you have. And that's exactly that word when it talks about we renew the spirit of our mind. We're taking what we have, what is there, that works properly, but it now needs to be renovated. It needs to be renewed in spirit. And that only happens by the Word of God. Depending on the input of the Word of God in your life, and you're going to have to allow it or not allow it. It's up to you. Because the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, but we have the mind of Christ. But Philippians 2, 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let is something you can do. You can stop it or you can let it. Allow the mind of Christ, because inside the heart of the believer is this. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit inside our heart urging us, moving us in a right direction, moving us with right words and right thoughts and right actions. We have to let Him have our way. That's why when we think about the sign Jesus is Lord, we make Jesus is Lord of our life. In other words, He's Lord, all right, but for you and me, we make Him our Lord. Yes, Lord, You are our Lord. We make Him our Lord. We let Him be Lord of our life. He's Lord whether you let Him or not, just not of your life. Amen. And if you want to be Lord of your life, you got to let Him be Lord of your life. You got to make Him Lord of your life. and do the things that God says that will cause that to happen in your life as believing on the Son of God, confessing Him for our salvation, as Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us about. And here in Philippians 2:15, He says that we are to let the mind of Christ be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. So you can have exactly the same kind of thinking that Jesus had. Amen. As a child of God, if somebody asks you, how do you think? You ought to say, just like Jesus. Because whose mind you got? You got the mind of Christ, don't you? Everybody say, I have the mind of Christ. Well, therefore, if I've got the mind of Christ, what do? I think like Jesus. Amen. I think like Jesus thinks. That's what I've got. If I got His mind, I got to be thinking like Him. And if I don't, then I don't have His mind. Because His mind in me will think like Him, and my mind will think like Him when it is renewed and transformed, and a metamorphosis takes place in my life by the renewing of my mind by the Word of Almighty God. When that happens, what does Scripture say? What does that mind sound like? Here's what it sounds like. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. That's what we dwell on, what things are true. What things are honest, what things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If you want a life that's like that, a good life, you want a wonderful life, get your thinker right. Amen. Think on it. Believe on it. Act on it. Live on it. Do on it. The Bible tells us this, to go this far. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, that we cast down imaginations or thoughts. Every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Every thought that goes through your mind, you bring that into captivity. In other words, when a thought comes to your mind, every thought, I own that thought. You mind thought, you are mine. I own that thought. I'm not going to let you think that way. I'm not going to let you dwell on that. I'm not going to let you live in my head any longer. In Jesus' name, and by His power, and the power that He's given me to operate my mind, to be renewed by the things of God, I'm going to think on things that are true, things that are honest, things that are of good report, things that are pure, things that are lovely, all these things. That's where my mind's going to dwell. Amen. Not going to dwell on all this other stuff. I mean, it's easy to do in this world because there's so much bad news that's happening. I mean, right now, they're trying to redo the COVID thing and have another episode of that thing going through. But I didn't participate in the first episode, and I'm not going to participate in the second episode either. And so I'm not going to let the mind would say, oh, but they said this, they said that. Well, maybe so. Maybe they did say this. That's fine. But that ain't what I said. The Bible still says in Psalms chapter 91 that no plague will come nigh my dwelling. How many believes that? Somebody say amen. Amen. And that's what I'm going to think on. That's what I'm going to dwell on. That's where my mind is going to stay. Amen. And so at that point, it becomes impossibility to worry and impossibility to fret. It is an amazing thing, as they say, we're coming out of this thing nationally and getting out and they're lifting these mandates, saying, well, no longer need to wear a mask, no longer do this. And some people complain, say, oh, no, we'll wear the mask till the day we die. They'll never quit wearing masks. Well, that's fine. If that's their choice, they're welcome to do so. But you know what? I just not going to live under that kind of fear in my life. Not going to do it. The Lord Jesus is our healer, and He keeps us from everything that would come against us, and we don't need to fear in this life as long as we put Him first in life. But my mind wouldn't have that way of thinking if I didn't keep it in the Word of God. If I put it in the words of the world or the words of the CDC and to put my mind out there, I'd think exactly what they think. But since I don't do that and keep my mind in the Word, I think exactly what God thinks. Amen. I mean, I've never, said a whole lot of things about some of this, but over these last 2 years, I've been praying and that kind of stuff, and pray and talk to God and have fellowship with Him and that kind of stuff. And then they go out into life, into the world, and I see all the things that people want to require of us and tell us we must do and have to do this and all that kind of stuff. And I'm looking at all of that, and I'm saying, you know what, I was just with God this morning. I was just with Him, and I was just loving on Jesus, and He was loving on me. I can't insult Him by believing what the world tells me when Christ has told me something that's different. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I've got to stay on the Word and the will of God. There just ain't nothing else in there but that. Well, it takes you renewing the mind to get that way. If you don't have your mind renewed, you'll still be here and there and everywhere else. But when you do that, you'll live a life of joy and peace, health, strength, and goodness, and mercy, and grace, and all the good things that God has for us. And God has a lot. Somebody say amen. Amen. So let's get our minds right. Amen? Amen. practice the presence of God, get your mind right. Stand up with me this morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on us. In Jesus' name, holy Lord God, holy Lord God. Let every head bow, every eye close in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, or if you're here today and you've known Him but you've walked away from Him and you want to come back into fellowship with Him today, and you want to renew your commitment to Lord Jesus Christ, whatever you call it, just make things right with God. If there's anyone here today that's in that circumstance, that situation, and you'd like me to pray with you, then I'll do so. But the only way I do that is if you let me know. And so with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, if you're here today, and that's you, and you need prayer, would you just slip up your hand anywhere in the congregation today? Come on. Anywhere in the congregation, that's you. Just slip up your hand. Wave it at me. Wave it at me real good, and I'll see you, and we'll pray together in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. God is a good God, isn't He? Hallelujah. All right, lift up your hands all through the building. Let's pray before the Lord. Pray this prayer. Say, Dear Father, I come before You in Jesus' name. I bring my mind before You. I believe I have the mind of Christ as a Christian, as a believer. I know that the mind of Christ is greater than the mind of this world. Therefore, I reject the thinking of this world. I receive the mind of Christ. I will keep my thoughts, my meditations on You, O God, all the day long. Never will I live life without thinking of You first. Never will I go my own way, but I will walk in the path of righteousness. I will follow You all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and forever. In the name of Jesus, somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. So good to see you today. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe You sent Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross, and You have raised Him from the dead that I might be alive in Him. Jesus, I confess You are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.